The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Today's the 25th of May. It is Wednesday. The weather is nice in New York. We've got a lot to talk about today. In the first hour, we're talking to my friend Che An, who has a church in Pasadena. Actually, I'll be speaking at his church June. What is it going to be, like 12th or 11th or something? I'll be there in June speaking at his church in Pasadena. And if you want information about that or about where I'm going to be in general, you need to go to ericmetaxas.com. I also, before I say anything else, we have to talk, Albin, about this evil thing that happened in Texas near San Antonio, the shooting of children, one of the most horrible things imaginable. But it's so funny. I was talking to Suzanne about it, and I thought to myself, you can see why people are angry, right? People say angry, say we've got to do something, because you just think this is intolerable. And it is, right? It's intolerable. But when you say we've got to do something, you're implying that something can be done. Usually people mean the government. We means the government. It shouldn't mean the government. It should be we. But it means the government. We've got to do something. We've got to enact law. We've got to, you know, create an invisible shield. We've got what can we do? And I think people think, well, we need a law. There's got to be laws. We've got to punish people. We've got to. It doesn't work that way. There are certain things that laws are powerless against. By the way, we have laws against murder. We have laws against all kinds of wicked things. We live in a culture, I really believe, that is sick. When you think that these things are happening increasing over the years, if anything, gun control, we've had more and more laws against guns, but the shootings have increased. It has become unbelievable. It is, you think back to what happened in Sandy Hook, you think back to all these other shootings. And so I think to myself, wait a second, folks, you're dealing with a sin issue. Something is wrong in the culture. Forget about the word sin. That's too religious, maybe. Something is wrong in the culture. Doesn't common sense tell you that if these things are increasing, what is the reason? More guns? No. We have, if anything, less guns. There's no correlation. What we're talking about is something that is either ineffable or it's at least mysterious. But to think that we can cavalierly say, We've got to enact laws. We've got to. No. It really, that is foolish. That's foolish. You cannot solve every problem with government. You can't solve every problem with laws. It's just wrong. And frankly, if you could, I'd say do it. You can't. It's not that simple. And I think we have a spiritual problem in the country. We have a problem. We don't. And it's taken decades to get to this point. But you think, how have we gotten worse and worse and worse, that more and more shootings are happening? What is going on? It strikes me at its root, it's a spiritual problem. We have a lot of people in this country with no hope. They have imbibed the lie that there is no God, that there's no meaning in life. It's sort of everywhere, and it makes us angry. It makes us anxious. We need to encourage a culture of love, of faith. There are many things we can do, but laws typically can't do it. We, the people, have to do it. And we have, the first thing I think we have to do is talk about the fact that when you say the government must do something, you're already part of the problem. Governments typically make things worse. It is very rare that government could solve problems. If government could just solve these problems, I would just say, let's do it. But the laws that we typically enact make things worse. We think of the Patriot Act. We think of all these things that we enact, these laws that take away more freedoms, that give us less privacy. I just have to say, I don't want to go into it anymore, but I put out a couple of tweets on this if you want to read what I think. I just want to say that these things are heartbreaking, but when people say we must do something as though we can politically just snap our fingers, enact a law, and it's going to change this, I have to tell you, people can kill with cars, and they will kill with cars. They will do whatever they want. You know, if you can't get a gun and you're crazy and you want to kill people, you can find a way to do it. They're horrible things. Okay. The Boston Marathon bombers didn't use guns. Anyway, enough about that, but it is absolutely heartbreaking. Our hearts go out. And I know that many people will be praying for the folks involved in this. We don't send our thoughts and prayers. We don't believe in sending thoughts and prayers. What we do is actually pray to God to do something. That's what we do. So, okay, let's turn the page. I'm sure we'll be talking more about this in the weeks ahead, but we've got a few things that we have to announce. In hour two today, we're talking to Joseph Pierce, a brilliant writer. Joseph Pierce, honestly, he's written so many books. We've had him on the program many times talking about Alexander Solzhenitsyn and many other people. He wrote a brilliant biography, the best biography about Oscar Wilde. It's magnificent. But his recent book is about Pope Benedict. I think we aired this once a couple of weeks ago, but we haven't aired it in hour two. And I want everybody to hear these things, because sometimes if we get a really good interview, we will air it twice, as you know. Alvin, we should talk about CSI.
Yes, we should. Yes. Last week, last couple of days for this, folks. Yeah.
People say, you know, things are tough in the world. What can I do? Well, here's something you could do. Our radio website is metaxastalk.com. The suffering in Ukraine has been terrible. Take politics out of it. These are human beings chased out of their homes. It is heartbreaking stuff. We want to help them. If you go to metaxastalk.com, you'll see the link. This is about helping Ukrainian refugees. This is not about the war effort. It's helping the victims of the war, families that have been chased from their homes, displaced. They have no way to feed their kids. They don't have medicine. They don't have medical supplies. You can help. And I hope you will by going to metaxastalk.com. And Alvin, give us the phone number. It's 888.
Yep. 253-3522. 888-253-3522. And please, this is the last week, folks. We need you to participate. Any amount will do it. And we also are giving away three grand prizes. So any amount that you give, you'll be entered into that virtual hat. And then we pull three names out and we'll announce them next week. And you get three grand prizes. We got books, we've got t-shirts, we got hats. We've got it all.
Signed books, valuable signed books. No kidding, folks. 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. If you have to buy a birthday gift for somebody, Mother's Day gift, Father's Day gift, whatever holiday is happening, and you say, what do I want to get so-and-so? You know, you can donate $100 to help in their name, to help Ukrainian refugees. It's a really wonderful gesture. And I have to say, these people need our help. They need to see that somebody loves them and cares for them. We just can't imagine what it would be like. And the millions that have been displaced, it's unfathomable. Millions and millions of people chased out of their homes, heartbreaking stuff. So the phone number is 888-253-3522. Before we go to our guest, Che An, who's talking about turning America back to God, that's kind of, we pre-taped this, but it fits the theme of what I was saying earlier. I don't think there's a government solution to this. I think this is a much bigger problem, much deeper, deeper problem. But if you want to find out more about the Ukrainian refugees, you go to metaxastalk.com. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, I think a lot of people get a newsletter that's sent to them by Salem, which is the radio newsletter.
Yeah.
But if you want my personal newsletter, which comes with all kinds of other stuff, which I think a lot of people are not getting, you go to ericmetaxas.com. That, as I say, just features all kinds of other stuff. There's no ads in it, by the way. I want to make that clear. Final reminder, Socrates in the City, May 31st. We still have a limited discount code, VIP25. Not many of those left, but if you want 25% off, VIP25. We'll be right back with Che On. Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients, each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Hey there, folks. I'm excited when I get to talk to somebody that is not just a friend, but somebody I think who has been a hero. My guest right now is Pastor Che On of Southern California. He has written a book called Turning Our Nation Back to God Through Historic Revival. I happen to know it's a good book because I read it and I wrote the foreword to it. Pastor Che, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. It's an honor to be with you and love you and love your program.
Well, I love you because I respect you. You stood up in California. I want to tell my audience about that before we get to the book. The book is Turning Our Nation Back to God Through Historic Revival. But you stood up boldly when the governor in California was trying to shut down churches. And I know we've talked a little bit about this on the program before, but for people just tuning in, they don't know you. They don't know that there are many really heroic pastors in California that stuck their necks out. They said, we're going to fight. Mike McClure is one of them. I was just at his church in San Jose. Rob McCoy, Jack Hibbs. But you are the one that I have known the longest. Tell us what happened to you, because you do talk about it in the book.
Well, originally, when President Trump said 30 days of mitigation, we didn't know what this coronavirus is about. So we locked down for 30 days. But then we began to notice that other places were declared essential. And so things were opening up right after that 30-day period, but not the church. So marijuana dispensaries were declared essential. abortion clinics were declared essential. Of course, Walmart and Costco and the grocery stores were declared essential. And later on, strip clubs were declared essential. Casinos were considered essential, but the church was locked down.
Okay, and you noticed this. Most people noticed that this was crazy. Point is, you are the pastor of a big church, and you said, this is wrong, and we're going to do something about it. That took real bravery. It took real faith. So what did you do? How did you go about it?
Well, originally, we just were going to open up. We opened up May 31st, even though he had mandated a lockdown. And I just wanted to be covered. So I called my friend Matt Staver, who helped us with the call. I was the president of the call from 2000-2003, which was gathering young people in stadium events to pray and fast for revival in America. And I called him. I just said, I just need some legal covering because we're going to continue to open up. And I don't know what the ramifications because this we're talking about a lockdown that you would be breaking the law if you met in person. And the next thing I'm talking to Matt, he says, you know what? There's so much discrimination against the church because we had the George Floyd protests of 100,000 people marching in Hollywood. No social distancing. No one's wearing a mask. And Newsom gets up and blesses them. He said, God bless you. Your voices were heard and we want to support you. And yet he wants to lock down the church. So he said, why don't you sue the governor? And so after talking to our pastors, our board, I just felt like the Lord say, and he gave me a verse from Joshua 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night. And then in verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be fearful. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. And with that, I received real like faith to sue the governor. And the next thing I know, I get a letter from our city prosecutor in Pasadena saying that we're going to arrest you for violating the mandate, the lockdown. We're going to fine your people $1,000 per person. And at this point in August now of 2020, we're talking about millions of dollars worth of fine. And then the last statement is that we reserve the right to arrest your church members. And I said, this is madness because Newsom was letting out prisoners because of COVID crowdedness, and they want to arrest law-abiding citizens who just want to worship Jesus. We pay our taxes. We're good people. And so I realized we have come to Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good, good evil. And I said, this is crazy. So we asked for an emergency injunction to protect me from being arrested. And we were denied that. We went to the Ninth Circuit. We lost there as well. And by the way, elections have consequences because they're all federal judges appointed by either Obama or Clinton that weighed in on my case. And thank God that President Trump nominated 3 Supreme Court justices and 300 federal judges and confirmed.
I mean, can you imagine that there are Christians that do not understand the scripture and they think— they believe the scripture says don't be political. Can you imagine when we are seeing this evil being perpetrated on God's people, there are some pastors and some Christians who think, well, we're supposed to let it go. I want to tell you, folks, not only are you not supposed to let it go, if you do not fight, you're part of the problem and you're not behaving biblically. I want to challenge people. You're not behaving biblically. Che sued the governor of the state. That was the right thing to do. But there are many voices that say, oh, we wouldn't want to do a thing like that. Do you not stand up against injustice? This is horrible injustice. Forget about it being up against the people of God, about anybody.
Yeah, it goes back to Genesis 1 when he made us in his image. And then he blessed Adam and Eve. And he said, be fruitful, multiply. And then he uses this word subdue. That word in the Hebrew is kabas, which means to subdue the enemy, subdue evil. And so we were created to subdue the devil who was already in the garden. And, of course, sin came in, and as a result of that, we have the fall of man. And as a result of that, we have unrighteousness and injustice in our society. But that word to subdue is still our mandate. We're to resist evil. evil, and we're to bring about justice and righteousness. I'm talking about biblical justice, biblical righteousness, and that's what it means to even rule. So he uses two government terms, subdue the enemy and rule over the earth. And so for us to think that, you know, we're to just acquiesce in this nonsense of Platonic thinking of separation of church and state is definitely of the devil.
And actually, I want to be clear, too. Notice, folks, we're not talking about getting pitchforks and going to the home of the judges or to the governor. We're not talking about mob intimidation, which we're seeing. We're talking about legally to say, we're going to challenge you in a court of law, Governor Newsom. We're going to follow the rule of law. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right about it. And I just want to applaud you again, Pastor Che-On, for leading in this way, because so many pastors don't understand this, and I want them to see what the scripture says we're supposed to do. This is not maybe simple, but we need to understand it. When the government does not understand it, when it's pushing people around, if you love this country, if you love the rule of law, you have to take this seriously, especially if you're a believer. So what happened after this?
Well, we went all the way to the Supreme Court. So even though we were denied the injunction in the Ninth Circuit in December, the Supreme Court weighed in, and they said it was totally unconstitutional to arrest a pastor and his church members who simply want to worship. So that was the first victory. And then the final victory happened in February of 2021, where the Supreme Court, again, elections have consequences, 6-3, because we won 6-3, including John Roberts sided with us and said it was unconstitutional to lock down the church. And so we set a precedence by the grace of God, and we give him all the praise and all the glory, that the church can never be locked down again in case of another pandemic. And if the governor tried to do it again, he'll be in contempt of court, and he would be arrested for violating a Supreme Court edict. So this is something in perpetuity that we have as a freedom that should have been ours from the very beginning, because the state should not interfere with the free exercise thereof, as it says in our First Amendment right. But unfortunately, he tried to interfere. And even during that one month it was open, he was telling us we can't sing or we can't chant during the service, which is so ridiculous. How can he tell people?
I mean, can you imagine that we are living in a time? But the most amazing thing to me, Che, is that people in the church leaders would go along with this wickedness, somehow thinking that it's biblical to go along with this wickedness instead of, you know, it's like if David had said, hey, let Goliath win, you know, God's got it. God's sovereign. Let Goliath. There's a time when wisdom dictates that you're to take action. And again, we don't fight the way the world fights. But what you did is really heroic. And I also want to underscore, you said it was 6-3 at the Supreme Court. Ladies and gentlemen, if you tell me Christians aren't supposed to be political, do you understand three justices in the Supreme Court who were appointed by Democratic presidents did not agree with this? So elections do have consequences. So you might not want to be political, but if you do not vote for the person who understands these things and who's going to appoint judges that understand these things, you've become part of the problem. Your passivity, which you think is biblical, it's not biblical. It's anti-biblical. I say this in love because many of my brothers and sisters in Christ don't understand this. And when I see somebody like you, Pastor Che-On, who does understand this, it is important we help people understand where we are right now. So I'm talking to Pastor Che-On. The book, we'll talk about it when we come back, Turning Our Nation Back to God Through Historic Revival. Don't go away.
I tell you, chum, it's time to come blow your horn. Make like the Mr. Mumbles and you're a zero.
Hey, folks, if you could make money off of abortion or pornography, would you do it? I hope the answer is no. But I want to tell you, Robert Netsley, the founder of InspireInsight.com, he was the president of his local pro-life pregnancy center when he discovered that he owned investments in three companies manufacturing abortion drugs. Well, God helped him to see that he was making money from abortion, pornography, LGBT activism, and the list goes on. And that's why he created InspireInsight.com. InspireInsight.com gives you instant access to biblical values data on over 23,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs so you can invest to the glory of God. You need to go to InspireInsight.com today and screen your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts. I did, and I was shocked. Now I'm able to clean out the junk and invest in companies actually doing good things. Go to InspireInsight.com today and register for free. That's InspireInsight.com. Go there. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to my friend, Pastor Che Ahn, who has written a book called Turning Our Nation Back to God Through Historic Revival. Pastor Che, talk about revival. I mean, there have been so many historic revivals, and in the book you write about them. Do you think revival is coming to us? Are we ripe for revival in America?
I do believe that. I define revival, first of all, it's God's arrival when he comes in a manifest way to earth as it is, as he is in heaven. And I share three characteristics of a historic revival. First, revival begins with the church. It's why 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, not the world, not the Congress, but if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And so there's been evil in the church, our wicked ways. We've had to repent of our sins, and we've been doing that. And I've seen more people humble themselves in massive gatherings through the call, but other solemn assemblies that really I feel that God's heard our prayers. The second characteristic, the harvest comes in. And in the Jesus People movement, which was from 1967 to 77, over 20 million young people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ globally. And I think it's setting the stage for the third thing, which is social transformation, or we call reformation. And I really believe that we're going to see that. And I feel that we're in that stage of revival, of reformation, really. And I want to be bold and say this, that I felt like the Lord say that to me right before Easter. We're coming into a new epic season of reformation, and I knew what that meant. And I shared it on Easter Sunday. Now, this is before the leak with Politico, but I said, I believe that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. And I made a decree about that on Easter Sunday. I just blessed the people that God would bless them. But then I finished by saying, and Roe v. Wade will be overturned. Because that's what transformation looks like. And so we saw that in this Great Awakening, First Great Awakening of 1738 with Whitfield and Wesley, but led to the abolition of the slave trade in 1807 and slavery altogether in your magnificent book, Amazing Grace, you know, by 1833 with William Wilberforce. And so here we are on a verge, I believe, of Roe v. Wade being overturned. And I see other signs. I mean, even Musk buying Twitter is a sign that God wants to reform media. And so this is something that he is touching every area of family, media, education, and, of course, the government mountain. And so I feel we're in a historic season where we're going to see. Now, the real battle begins for me, especially in California, because if it goes statewide, with abortion being only each state making their own decision, we have the most liberal, progressive left state. We're the leaders in abortion in our nation. In fact, our governor just declared California to be an abortion sanctuary state. And he's saying, you know, come to California for a vacation and we'll pay for your lodging, your food, and your abortion. And this is our tax money paying for other people's.
What could be more satanic? I mean, just the language, an abortion sanctuary. Can you imagine? This is the antithesis. I mean, some places, if you were a slave and you escaped, it would be a sanctuary. This is about people going to have their children killed, and they're using this term sanctuary. It is really, it is satanic. It's just an amazing, amazing thing.
And what's sad is, like, corporations like Citibank said, we will pay for any employee that works in a state that abortion will no longer be allowed, and we'll pay for them to fly to California and take care of their lodging, their expenses, and their abortion. And so Newsom said, we need more corporations like Citibank. And these woke companies, we need to, I mean, what we did with Disney, we need to boycott them, actually, and just really take a stand with our business. And, you know, and I think if a lot of people realize what Citibank was all about, or Disney, and, you know, and their subscription to Disney Channel. And I think that is going to really have an impact on even the business mountain.
I think this is where you separate the sheep from the goats. If you're not willing to make a sacrifice, a very small sacrifice, and say, I'm not going to go to Disney World until they repent, I'm not going to subscribe to Disney Channel, I'm not going to bank at Citibank. If the believers in this country would get serious on that kind of issue, we would change the world tomorrow. Folks, you have no idea the power that you have, the power of the purse, the financial power that you have. Forget about voting. That's one thing. But the financial power that we have to say that I will not do business with a company or a bank like Citibank that sticks its neck out for something that I know is wrong. It's wrong. And God is going to hold me accountable for where I spend my money and what I do with my money. So I'm just so glad, Pastor Che, that you're bringing this up. And you guys in California, I mean, you're seeing it. That's the whole thing, is it's come to you because it's such a crazy place.
No, we have a bill called AB 2223, and it's right now going through the process. But it will legalize infanticide. The bill says that up to 30 days after the baby is born, you can kill that baby and you will not be penalized. You will not be criminally charged.
Can somebody explain that to me? Because I don't even understand how somebody who's pro-abortion would go there. Do we understand why they would go there?
Well, they're saying things like, well, we do know that people have postpartum blues after giving birth to a baby, and you know, we just want to make sure that the woman's right to choose, even under a situation like that. And if she chooses to let the baby starve or die, or have the doctor kill the baby, that they will not be criminalized. Again, it's all set on the woman. Is crazy. This is totally unconstitutional.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you hear what we are saying? Do you hear what we are saying, folks? It's time to wake up. It is time to understand evil is evil. We have to get serious. We'll be right back talking to Dr. Che on. But then they send me away, teach me how to be sensible,
logical.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Che On. I didn't mention he's not just the author of Turning Our Nation Back to God Through Historic Revival, which I have the privilege to write a foreword to, but he is the president of Harvest International Ministry, a global apostolic network in over 65 nations. It is amazing, Pastor Che On. You've been a pastor for a long time, and you've ministered all over the world. Your program is around the world, and you are convinced that we are on the verge of revival. Tell us more about that.
Well, I wrote this book to give encouragement and hope to people, because the first chapter I write about is that it's always the darkest time before the light of revival breaks out. It's based on scripture. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness covers the earth, deep darkness over the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear before you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning." And so we see this two parallel tracks of darkness and light in the last days. Haggai puts it this way in Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, "I'm going to shake all nations, and then I will fill this house with glory, and the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former," in verse 9. And so we see a global shaking going on. The first time we saw a global shaking in mass, I'm talking about every nation except for eight nations that declared themselves to be neutral, was World War II.
Right.
1939 to 1945, 80 million died. Most of them were civilian, 80% of the 80 million that died. It was a tragic war. and of course the dropping of atomic bombs, and you have this incredible shaking going on. But right afterwards, you had some of the greatest revival, from Billy Graham launching his international ministry in 49 to Oral Roberts in 48. Then you have the Voice of Healing movement with Branham and these incredible healing evangelists. Then you have the Hebrides revival in 48 and Latter Rain in 48. And goes on all the way to the Jesus People movement, the Charismatic Renewal. And now the second shaking is taking place right now with COVID. 200 nations have been impacted. But it's not just the virus. It's the lockdown. 16,000 businesses went belly up here in California alone. And the mask mandate, the vaccine mandate, and thank God that we don't have to wear a mask anymore on the airplane. But just the 2 years of this oppressive shaking has caused suicide to be just off the charts, mental, emotional trauma. People have been traumatized by this COVID. And as a result of that, people are crying out to God, because as C.S. Lewis said, that God shouts to us in our pain. So I believe in the midst of all the shaking, we're on the verge of the greatest revival in the history of the church. And we see this throughout church history. Even before the Great Awakening of 1738, we had one of the darkest time in England called the Gin Age, where everyone became an alcoholic almost overnight. And then you had the Black Plague hit London 40 years before that, killing 100,000 in London alone. And so you had, which was a bacteria, not a virus like ours, but nevertheless, death came. And as a result of that shaking, people were ripe and the Great Awakening exploded. So I could give throughout history where we see darkness covering the earth, and in the midst of the darkness, people cry out to God and revival breaks out. So I'm so optimistic that based on scripture, we're on the verge of the greatest revival. And as I shared with you, one of the signs will be Roe v. Wade being overturned.
I think, and in the book, of course, since I've read it, I know that you tell these stories. And I think it's important for us to know our history and to know these histories of revival, that these things have happened in the past, and the United States of America would not exist if it hadn't been for the First Great Awakening. It was an amazing thing where thousands and thousands and thousands of people up and down the 13 colonies became born again and understand we can govern ourselves. We don't need a big government. All of these things follow. And I really do think you're right that we're living in a season right now. We're seeing earthquakes in the heavenlies. We're seeing things happen. The overturning of Roe v. Wade, it's kind of like the fall of the Soviet Union. People would never dream that it's ever going to go away. It's been decades, and the Lord hears the prayers of his saints. It will go away, and the enemy will scream louder because this is like a sacrament for the secular left. They don't really know what it is that they're, you know, they talk about these platitudes about women's rights and reproductive rights. It's something very, very dark. It's harmed women more than anything. And I do think that you're right. We're seeing things. I think we're going to see election transparency because people are waking up. They're getting serious and they're saying we need to get involved in politics. We need to get involved in our local elections. We need to get involved in everything because we've taken our eyes off the ball and the enemy has come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord is raising up a standard against it. And I get very excited. I think that, when you talk about reformation, that's really exciting when we think about the fact that people aren't just going to get saved, but then they're going to be acting as though they're saved, and they're going to be doing things in every sphere, in every one of the seven so-called mountains.
Well, I believe that revival is individuals coming to know Jesus Christ, being personally transformed. As I shared, the harvest comes in. But reformation is when institutions get saved, like the government. And the reform that's going to take place there, election reform, and as well as bad laws like the Roe v. Wade, just like the Dred Scott decision of 1858, and so we're going to see this massive change, I believe, take place for the great push of the Great Commission on the last days, because God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is there are 3 billion people who have never even heard the gospel, including over 1 billion Muslim. And so God has raised up this nation to be an apostolic nation, to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. We're still the number one mission sending, mission giving nation. But I believe that we're to go to another level as we unite and see revival break out in America.
How can anybody doubt that God's hand is on this nation when you say something like, with all of our problems, we are still sending more people to preach the gospel around the world? It's an amazing thing. And before we go to our break, I want to remind people that many people are getting involved in government. Many people are running for statewide office, for national offices, who believe in Jesus, who believe abortion is wrong, who believe these things, and they are getting serious. Like William Wilberforce, you kindly referenced my book, Amazing Grace, who said, I'm going to use God's gifts in politics for the good of others. And people said, keep your faith out of politics. What's wrong with you? And he said, no. I have an obligation before God to bring my faith, the faith in Jesus, into the political world and to do these things. I believe that is happening now. It will continue to happen. We'll be right back talking to Dr. Che Ahn. Folks, welcome back. I have in my hands the book by my friend Che Ahn. It's called Turning Our Nation Back to God Through Historic Revival. It's encouraging. It's very encouraging. And you know, Che, you gave me the honor of writing the foreword to this book, and I begin it with the famous Thomas Paine quote, these are the times that try men's souls. We are living through a time right now that our souls are being tried, tested in the fire to see what are we made of, who in the church really believes, where is the holy remnant? And I really believe that's what's happening right now, is that we are being refined through these struggles, through these difficulties, through these mandates, the madness that's happening. It is refining the church and waking up the church and making us shine more brightly for him. And that is what leads to worldwide revival, to reformation, as you're saying it. So the Lord uses these dark things, Romans 8:28, for his purposes. And we're seeing it in history right now.
And Eric, I just want to thank you for writing the foreword, and it was a brilliant foreword. And I, you know, the book, by God's grace, and I give him all the glory, is on the bestseller list for Amazon. And I think it's because of people like you that gave me input, but others like Dave Barton edited, you know, and others who are theologians like Craig Keener of Asbury Seminary. I just want to make sure everything was biblical, was accurate historically, and I had historians look over the book, make sure that the dates were correct, etc. And it's really brought a lot of encouragement to people. So I want to encourage, by the way, all the proceeds of the book goes to my seminary, Wagner University. I don't get a cent. I'm trying to raise scholarship money for people to attend our seminary called Wagner University, which is something that my mentor, Peter Wagner, started in 1998. He passed away, but left the seminary to me, and I'm trying to carry on his legacy.
Well, that's amazing. So people who buy Turning Our Nation Back to God Through Historic Revival by Dr. Che Ahn, the proceeds go to Wagner Seminary. I did not know that. That's wonderful to hear. We've just got a couple of minutes left. Talk about the revival, any of the revivals that come to mind, maybe that people are not as aware of, because they have existed through history. We need to be encouraged by that.
Well, I want to just say what you talked about the United States. When Whitfield came to the United States during the Great Awakening, he went up and down from Georgia to Maine 7 times, round trip. But he took a different route each time he went up, and each time he came back down to Georgia, because he wanted to reach all the towns. So when you talk about the the 13 colonial states hearing the gospel, we're talking about 80% of the people heard the gospel. Many of them gave their hearts to Jesus Christ and laid the foundation for our nation to be born. And of course, he passed away in 1760, but then we have, of course, the Declaration of Independence 6 years later. So it was a huge, and we see that with even the 1857 revival, the prayer revival with Jeremiah Lampier, as he began a prayer meeting for business people in Fulton Street and Wall Street in New York. 2 million people came to know Jesus Christ. Most of them were abolitionists, and they're the ones that took a stand against slavery and the injustice of slavery. And I just want to just add, I believe the number one injustice of our time is biblical injustice, is abortion. And so on the 49th year of Roe v. Wade, I think it's very interesting that we are coming into a Jubilee year. Jubilee actually starts the 49th year. You're to save all your food for the 49th year so that you could eat that on the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, without having to work. It's a year of rest. And so I feel that God's giving us a beautiful Jubilee. We're going to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
This is
a major celebration on the 50th year.
This is absolutely historic. I'm just so glad you pointed that out. Folks, Dr. Che On has been my guest. He's the author of this book, Turning Our Nation Back to God Through Historic Revival. Dr. Che, thank you so much.
God bless you, Eric. It's an honor to be on your show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.